8:12 here at KCHA. We've got a cloudy sky, 54 degrees. Good morning. I'm Mark Pitts taking over for Chris Berg here in the 8 o'clock hour. And we talked some physical health there with Floyd County Medical Center. Now we're going to talk mental health as we welcome a school counselor from Lincoln Elementary School in Charles City, Michelle Dolman. Michelle, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
We brought Michelle on because May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And I guess, Michelle, what's kind of your first message to people when you start talking about, you know, the kind of the basics for good mental health?
When I think of what the first basics are for good mental health, it's making sure that each and every one of us are taking good care of us ourselves and that we have a good support system and that we are also taking care of others. We are talking, we are asking questions, we are noticing things in people, and when we notice them, we maybe find kind, compassionate, caring ways to ask about them, check in on them, make sure they're okay, communicating.
You bring up a good point. You, as a counselor at Lincoln Elementary School, and you're working with young kids. Mm-hmm. What are some of the advice, things that you maybe tell parents to, in terms of how can they open up that communication if they think maybe their child is struggling with something?
Right. Just talking. I kind of think back to when I was little, and at supper time every night, we would sit around the table and just talk. We didn't have our cell phones. Well, we didn't have cell phones when I was little, but, we would talk. How was your day? What was good? What was bad? You know, you seem grumpy. What's going on? So talking, communicating, just asking anything and visiting about things and noticing slight changes. You know, you seem like you've been sleeping more than you have been lately, you know, previously. You seem like you're spending more time in your bedroom than you normally have. You know, is everything okay? Yeah, my door's always open if you want to talk. That's what I always tell any student that I work with. And I try to make that also open and aware to parents, you know, whenever I am on an email with them or a phone conversation. Just always try to end the conversation with, you know, if you need something, I'm here for you. We're here for you. We're a team. You're not in this alone. It's hard to raise kids. It's hard to survive in this world. So we all have to, you know, be together and support one another.
Yeah. Now, and of course, you know, you're at Lincoln Elementary and you're dealing with, the younger mm-hmm. kids. A lot of times I think traditionally what we've got, well, they're just kids. I mean, they're just, you know, they shouldn't have really any cares in the world. But what are some of the things that, that at that age they can struggle with?
Certainly. Well, first of all, and I know everybody can look up statistics online like we talked moments ago when we were off the air, but suicide is prevalent in kids ages 10 to 17. The statistics show that the numbers are very scary for little people. And exactly, what should little kids have to be worried and stressed about? But I do ask that question when we do lessons. I meet with, just like the other counselors in our district and around the North Iowa area or whatever, we have large group lessons and we talk about things. And, you know, I'll ask, like, how many of you are feeling in the yellow zone today? And yellow zone means they're stressed or whatever. And quite a few of them, they will raise their hands and then we'll let them share out if they want. Their stressors include things like, you know, busy school days, or maybe they got in an argument with a sibling before they came to school. We have a lot of food insecurities, so a lot of them maybe don't have the access to food at home or whatever. Maybe even it's nervousness and they don't have somebody to talk to about it or quite understand what that all means and how they should manage it, and the fact that they're not alone with that issue. I guess those are some of the things immediately that come to mind.
And you mentioned, you know, the suicide in that 10 to 17 year old range. Of course, the pandemic also kind of impacted those numbers even more.
Absolutely. Yeah. Being home and being isolated and maybe not having access to all the resources that we do in air quotes normal.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it seems ironic life. A little bit when we talk about, you know, the isolation, and, you know, we've got everybody's got, even the kids at young age, mm-hmm. have more cell phones and mm-hmm. they're connected with their friends, but yeah. It's just not the same as being face to face.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And it's okay to text someone and check in on them if they're okay, but that face to face is Much better.
Yeah. We have a kind of a running joke with my daughter that, a lot of times we'll text you just because we haven't heard for you for a couple of days, just to make sure.
Yep.
If I'm texting you, just because, are you alive? Are you okay?
Right.
As far as conversely, we talked about, the kids and some of the warning signs. What are some of the things that maybe parents, signals that they could give off that could cause stress for their kids? If they see something, mm-hmm. obviously there mm-hmm. are certainly family dynamics that come into play.
Absolutely.
That cause stress for kids in the classroom as well.
Right. Well, there are definitely adult issues and adult problems, and keeping those more in adult mm-hmm. world and having those adult conversations where the kids aren't present, I think is very important, because they do sometimes see their parents maybe struggling with money or stressed from work. Maybe there's an argument between adults in the house. Maybe there's other siblings that there's struggles between. There's all sorts of different little scenarios that can come up. And not that younger people or children can't or shouldn't witness the fact that sometimes life is hard.
Sure.
Yeah. I guess when they witness that, then we also need to make sure that they see us as problem solvers, that we are working through it, and we can still, do our job, and we can still get out of bed, and we can still take care of things. And if we aren't doing well, that we ourselves are also seeking the support that we need to be mentally healthy.
Absolutely. We're talking with Michelle Dolman. She is a school counselor at Lincoln Elementary, the Charles City School District. I'm Mark Pitts in for Chris Berg. Kind of describe your role as a counselor. Kind of what's a typical day like for you at Lincoln Elementary School?
Right, certainly. So in the mornings, I am fortunate enough to get to do one of the duties. So I greet kids as they come to breakfast. So just a lot of us, everybody on board at Lincoln and the other schools in the district, we spend a lot of times out and about smiling and welcoming kids in the mornings, as do other people. About 8:30 every morning, we at Lincoln do Leader and Me. So all of us disperse to different classrooms, and Leader in Me is based on a Stephen Covey model of the habits of,
highly effective people.
Yeah, but this is for young people. And so we are talking about how to develop that in young children and work together and be problem solvers. And, just that, I think that's something that is carried throughout the district. Then I do lessons in the morning. So we are on a 5-day cycle. I do large group lessons with each section of our students once every 5 days. Lessons can range from, most recently careers. We are doing a lot with careers, even in third and fourth grade. We do problem solving. We do managing our stress, how to be good friends, sorting out problems. What are big problems that maybe we need to find an adult to help us with? What's a small problem that I can manage myself? Afternoons oftentimes are filled with seeing kids maybe more individually and small group sessions.
Okay. Sure. Can you touch maybe on how your role as a counselor may has changed? You've been doing this mm-hmm. for a little while.
Yeah.
Whereas before, I think traditionally it's like the counselors, okay, you've got your office. If you have a problem, come to me. But now it sounds like you're a little more actively integrated into the school day.
Absolutely. So counseling has definitely changed from maybe the days when we had counselors in our schools growing up. We are definitely advocates for kids, teachers, and families, definitely trying to promote and get information out there beyond the more proactive side of problem solving and helping people. So we are out and about. Our doors are always open. We are, again, greeting and meeting and sharing information, putting information out there. And hopefully that those welcoming arms make people feel more able to come to us and see us as a safe place. Plus, starting that, I hope, as a younger age with the kids, then they kind of just grow with it, so that when they are in middle school, when they are in high school, then they also can see other helper positions, teachers, counselors, social workers, as people that they can easily go to and know that's a safe place to get the support they need, another avenue in addition to parents, grandparents.
Absolutely. Let's kind of wrap up with this, Michelle. Again, it's May is Mental Health Awareness Month. Let's just kind of make people, I guess, aware of, mm-hmm. you know, the avenues that are available. Again, we've talked about, you know, a lot of things that you make available mm-hmm. as a school counselor, but right. for people in general, there are resources out there if you think you have, you know, you're having some challenges mentally and emotionally.
Right. I think it's a tough thing to think about, even for me, you know, and having to support some people in my life that have struggled with it and, you know, personally. But I think families, again, need to know, people need to know that they need to be noticing things in people, being aware of, and if they do notice change, the first step would be to talk to somebody. If you do come into connection with someone who's struggling, I always like to point people in the direction of my or one's family physician. It's a good place to start. It's a safe place to start. They know their physical health. So then if you can go in and start talking with them about your mental health, and they can refer them out to other sources. We have different connections right here in Trail City and others in North Iowa. It's kind of slim sometimes, and it's a waiting list as well, but those are good places to start. As far as people being in crisis, if you run into someone who is, or you're talking with someone who is having suicidal ideation, suicidal thoughts, those are problems that need to go somewhere bigger. Mm-hmm. They need to go right to a mental health professional, the emergency room. If you don't know what else to do, call 911. Local law enforcement can help with those situations. It's not something just to sleep on. It's something to pay immediate attention to, because with the suicide rates skyrocketing, they say one person dies by suicide in the United States every 11 minutes. Anymore, almost all of us know somebody who has died by suicide, and so it's not something to take lightly. If somebody says something about taking their life or wanting to die, check in with them, ask them what they mean. You're not going to plant any more seeds in their brain about it than they've already been thinking. So ask them about it. And then just like if somebody broke their leg, you would call the emergency room, or you'd go to the emergency room, or call an ambulance or whatever. It's the same thing with suicide thoughts. That's an emergency. Get help from a professional.
Absolutely. All right. Again, I'm talking with Michelle Dolman. She's a school counselor at Lincoln Elementary, wrapping up your first year at the school.
So, yep. Yeah. Almost done.
Yeah. So looking forward to, obviously, the kids. Any advice for parents to make sure kids have a nice, mentally healthy summer?
Absolutely. I think getting outside and playing, just that being physically active is shown by research to help one's mental health. So going for a walk, going for a bike ride, playing kickball in the yard, just simple things that don't cost a lot of money are good things to do. Quality time on a rainy day, read a book together, bake a meal. I don't know, just spend some time together, talk, see each other face to face. Don't isolate each person in their bedrooms or whatever.
Absolutely. Okay, Michelle, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Some great information. Michelle Dolman joining us here on KCHA. I'm Mark Pitts, and we'll have the Nearly Impossible Quiz. That's about 10 minutes away here on The Morning Show.